Amen. You may be seated. Happy Wednesday. Hey, two quick announcements. First of all, concert coming up this Friday, All Sons and Daughters. Do you guys know who that is? They're a big deal. We sang one of their songs, didn't we, Bruce, this past Sunday, Brokenness Aside? Yep, very good. Tickets are on sale, and there's not many left. Tickets are on sale. I think it's $10 per student. You can get them at the ticket booth. That's the first announcement. Second announcement, Sister Miriam, come on up. I want to introduce to you Sister Miriam James Heidelin.
Yes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, yes. Where it's 75 degrees today. Oh, would you welcome Sister Miriam?
Good morning. Good morning.
Sister Miriam is here with the Benedict Forum. She is leading a workshop tonight, 7 o'clock, over in Mulder Chapel, which is over at Western Seminary. Everybody is welcome. And the name of the workshop is called?
It's Merciful Like the Father, Living in Forgiveness and Freedom.
Very good. Yeah. I'd like to have us welcome Sister Miriam again to Hope College. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you this morning? I've had this event on my calendar for quite some time, so I've been praying for you. For a long time, so it's nice to finally see all your beautiful faces. And as you can imagine, going out in public dressed like this in 2016, it's fabulous. I know, don't be jealous, okay? So going out in public dressed like this, you get kind of some interesting in just conversations with people. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning about the formation of the masterpiece, the pursuit of excellence. And every now and then in the people that I meet, I know that God is sending someone in particular to speak something to me very deeply. And so some time ago, I had this experience, and I was in the airport, which I find myself in airports a lot. And I was at a place kind of like Chipotle, but I didn't get sick. I wasn't Chipotle, okay? So I'm standing there, and it's between lunch and dinner, and I'm hungry, and I'm angry, so I'm hangry. I'm a hangry nun, which is never a good thing. And I'm standing there, and you know how they cook the meat in front of you, and it's like all fresh, everything's organic. And so this guy, he's like about 20, and he's grilling the chicken like this, and all of a sudden he sees me, he's like, oh, and I was like, oh, man, you know? And he's like, you a nun? And I said, yes, and he's like, can you see through me? I said, no, I can't, I'm sorry. And he's clearly disappointed. Like, and so he's like turning the chicken over. He's like, well, don't you have any superpowers or anything? And I said, no. And you know, he, like, and his whole body language is kind of shrinking. I'm feeling bad for him. And I said, you know, I don't have any superpowers. I'm not super nun, sorry. But I said, I do go all over the United States and Canada talking about love and about forgiveness and freedom and mercy and healing. And he's just not impressed at all. So he's like, you know, turning the chicken over. And so now I'm feeling bad for him. And so I'm moving on to the black beans and the cilantro. You know, I'm kind of looking at him, making sure he's okay. And I said, tell you what, man. I said, I'll pray for you. And his coworker was like, oh, girl, he needs that. Mm-hmm. And he perked up a bit and he says, sister, will you pray that I become a millionaire? And you know how things just come out of your mouth before the filter stops them? And all of a sudden I just said, tell you what, how about I pray that you get to heaven? He's like, okay. So, you know, he goes back to making the burrito, and I'm like, you know, heaven, $1 million, all the same to him. So he gives me the 4-pound burrito, and he goes on his way. And it just totally, you know, interrupted my whole day, and I've never forgotten that. Have you ever gotten what you wanted? Like, you wanted something so ardently, and you finally got it, and you're like, eh, whatever, you know? Can you pull up my first slide for me? I'm a big C.S. Lewis fan, and if you've read his book, Mere Christianity, this is a beautiful quote, and he says, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Have you ever beheld glory and just ached? My mom is one of my favorite people ever, and when I visit my mom in the summertime, we go to the Oregon coast. And last summer we went, and I don't know what when you go to the beach, but when we go to the beach of the Oregon coast, you never go to swim, you always just go to the look at the water because it's always too cold, right? So it's the end of August, and sure enough, it's 55 degrees and raining. And my mom's a widow, and my mom and I went through a huge healing in our relationship. I was an addict, and my life was a mess. And she and I hit heads for a long time. But my father died very suddenly of cancer, and there's something about when you care for somebody who's dying, it makes life very, very clear. And we had a huge healing in our relationship, and so she's my favorite person ever. And so we're at the Oregon coast, and, you know, it's raining outside. We can't go for a walk on the beach. And so we go back to the condo, and I open up the window, and we have a condo right on the water, and you can just hear the waves crashing onto the shore. And, you know, when rain first moves in, you can just smell the rain. And we both love coffee with these huge, massive cups of coffee. And we're just sitting there listening to the waves and watching the beach, just watching the coast and smelling the rain. And I had this moment, and I know you've had it too, where you say to yourself, man, I wish time would stop right here. And I wish this intimacy, I wish this
beauty. I wish this joy. I wish it would never end. And I call those moments, you know, like the appetizers to the main entree of heaven, kind of like the story of Hansel and Gretel, but you don't get eaten in the end, right? So it's like the breadcrumbs of glory where you follow these moments, and we ache for them, don't we? We ache for them. But so much of our life, I don't know about your life, but I know mine, so much of our life is like an enigma, right? Like what St. Paul talks about. Can you pull up my next slide? St. Paul talks about in his first letter to the Corinthians. He says, you know, we see dimly as in a mirror, but then we will see face to face. Then we will know as we are known. And do we not ache to see and to know and to love? You know, we could almost touch spring break. It's like you see it dimly in a mirror right now. And then you're about to behold it face to face, you know, and like bring it on, right? Because we just utterly desire more in life. And what is the more? I don't know about you, but when you look in your soul, you kind of like look, I look at the garden of my soul and kind of like, what's growing in my soul? What are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? What's kind of, what's inside? And it's like we're a great masterpiece. And, you know, my last slide from C.S. Lewis, I love C.S. Lewis. Can you pull up that last one? In his book, The Problem of Pain, he says, we are not metaphorically, but in very truth, a divine work of art. I love that, not metaphorically. Something that God is making, and something with which he will not be satisfied until it has a certain character. What you see there is a picture of the sculpture of the David. If you've been to Florence, you've ever seen the David. I used to live in Italy, and we took a weekend trip to Florence one weekend, and it blew my mind. And I've seen the Sistine Chapel. You know Michelangelo painting the Sistine Chapel. Michelangelo was 26 years old when he was commissioned to sculpt the David. And he always considered himself a better sculptor than painter. So if painting the Sistine Chapel is your second best gift, you're doing pretty good. You know what I'm saying, right? And he said, you know what he said about the David, this huge piece of Tuscan marble that was left outside. Nobody else wanted to work with it. You know, 12,000 pounds, 20 feet long piece of marble. Michelangelo said the reason why he begged to carve that sculpture out of that flawed piece of marble that was weather-beaten and weather-torn, he said, I could see the David in the masterpiece. I could see it already in the marble. He said, all I had to do was remove the parts of the marble that weren't the David, and the David emerged. Like, amen. How synonymous is that in our life? The divine masterpiece that we are, that God is always working. And I think we have a lot, and I know you look at your masterpiece, and we have some joyful mysteries, we've got some luminous mysteries, some glorious mysteries, and don't we have the sorrowful ones too? And I think it's the sorrowful ones, I don't know about you, but the sorrowful ones is where I want to put them aside and say, oh, nothing to see here, people, just move along, nothing to see here. And we say, how could God really work through something like that? And aren't those areas, those pools of our pain that become stagnant in life? And we kind of sit there by the pool and we wonder, man, is there any beauty to be found here? And God continues to write in our story and transform us. And that's the beauty about Christianity, isn't it? I love being a Christian. Because the reality is that God comes to redeem us, that he comes to lay down his life for us, and he comes to set us free. And there's no part of our masterpiece that is out of his area of redemption. No addiction, no struggle, no sorrow. And I think sometimes we sit there and we say, man, this is as good as it's going to get. And we settle for mediocrity, don't we? I mean, if you know, the Olympics are coming up again. And if you watched the Olympics a few years ago, you watched Michael Phelps win every gold medal there was to win. I think he won like gold medal in long jump because he's Michael Phelps. So like, man, just give it to him. And so he retires, right? He retires. And now he's coming out of retirement, and you know that you can't just come out of retirement, you can't get off the couch eating, you know, watching Netflix and eating popcorn and go from there to winning more gold medals. The guy is undergoing a complete transformation. And that's what Christianity really is. It's not behavior modification. It's not sin modification, sin management program. Christianity is a discipleship of complete and total transformation unto the glory of God's masterpiece as he sees. And doesn't the creator, the artist, gaze upon his masterpiece? There's something about a gaze. I just have been talking about that a lot. It's been very captivating to me, this area of gaze. You know, if we gaze at things that are beautiful, I love your chapel. It is just gorgeous. I love stained glass. I just love the architecture. But we gaze at a sunset. We gaze at, you know, beautiful waterfalls. Lovers gaze at each other. If you've ever been at dinner with lovers and they're kind of gazing, it's getting awkward. You're like, awkward. It's like, stop gazing at each other. It's getting weird, you know? Or if we brought a baby in here and all the women would be like, oh, you gaze into the eyes of a baby and you see eternity. When was the last time somebody gazed at you? Not stared at you because that's creepy, but gazed at you. Because see, that's what love does. May I propose to you today, may I just propose this to you, that God gazes upon you. And like in the garden when he saw his creation and he said, what? Behold, it is very good, that he gazes upon you with delight. And when he gazes upon us, does he see our sin and brokenness and our struggles? Yeah, he does. But he's not deterred by it. As the bridegroom, he seeks his bride. He desires to heal her, to bring her into oneness with himself, into eternal consummation of all that is good, true, and beautiful forever. That is the perfection of our masterpiece. So I know as you're preparing these weeks before spring break and you got a lot on your heart, I would just like to propose that gaze to you. Let us, as you know, a family of God, as Christians, let us allow God to come and gaze upon us, and not just the pretty parts, but the parts that we want to hide from. And as we allow him to do that, my dear friends, it transforms us. And as we say yes to God, we walk in the glorious freedom of the children of God. And that is the witness that the world is thirsting for today. Authentic love. Authentic love. You are delighted in. And God deeply, deeply desires to behold you and allow yourself to behold by him. So let's pray, shall we? Father, we come before you today and we thank you as your sons and daughters. I thank you in particular for all those you've gathered here today. Lord, we ask that we would allow you to gaze upon us, that you would smile upon us. Give us the courage to say yes to you. Give us the courage to be honest about all the parts of our life. Give us the courage to enter into your freedom, Lord. May we walk with you. May we allow our masterpiece to be healed, to reveal your glory, the glory that we've longed for all time. And we make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.